This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Josh!
Tom!
Josh, it is, we're doing an interview episode.
We are, because we're journalists.
We're journalists.
Yeah, we're bringing it back.
Yeah.
Back to when we interviewed Tony La Russa.
Man, remember when we had Tony La Russa on here?
Yep.
Twice.
That was pretty cool.
Some might think a third time when I was on vacation in the Ozarks. That was wild.
Yep.
We got Hayden. Hayden!
Shalom, Hayden. Welcome.
Hello, aboard. Hayden.
How's it going?
We sent him a t-shirt, and then he said, do you want a t-shirt? I've yet to take him up on his offer, but we can get free t-shirts, he said.
I'll take a t-shirt.
He didn't tell me how many. In fact, he did tell me I'm lying.
He's not wearing our t-shirt. He's not wearing our t-shirt. Feels a little offensive.
Feels a little
Well, the thing is, I just wore it. I'm washing it. That's the thing. That's better for
he's
you.
Washing
guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's...
I might just want to end this interview right here.
Yeah, no, that's just
kamikaze this.
That's his party t-shirt. That's what it is. That's a party t-shirt. Hayden runs STL Sports Central. I got that right?
Yes.
I have seen you guys so much on Facebook. So I want to know, to begin this interview, this little guest spot, how do we get that sweet, sweet boomer adrenochrome like you guys get? Because you guys are huge on Facebook, my man.
Well, we started out on Instagram. And then from there, we gave away 4 tickets right behind the Cardinals dugout.
Oh,
and to enter, you get to follow and like us on Facebook. So that gave us a big head start on there, because on Facebook, even Twitter now, they kill your algorithm. So Facebook, if you have even 10K following you or 5K, it just starts to go up and up, especially when you get the boomers talking.
I found when, so here in Cape, I ran an independent comedy scene. And so we try to make it as close to a small business as we can to cheat on our taxes. But what I found when it came to, the IRS, definitely, I thought it'd be the FBI that listened to this podcast.
I'm not commenting on my taxes.
Yeah. I found when it came to Facebook was, I don't know, maybe user-friendly, but definitely the easiest to exploit when it came to like ads in terms of generating like clicks and at least getting some kind of engagement out there. Maybe not getting people to comment, because I know when it comes to any form of getting a post to blow up or any kind of like meaningful engagement, you want people to do more than just like, you want them to share and comment on. But I found like, you know, when we would do a show, pump like $20 into an ad, it would reach like a few hundred people.
Yeah.
And, you know, all I needed was like 10% of those dudes to show up. So I guess you guys are not having to worry so much about engagement like that, though.
Yeah, thankfully not, because I've been grinding away. Oh, no. Right now, the only money in it is with merch.
Yeah.
And that's a time-based thing, so I can't really rely on it. But it's a nice side income for sure.
Nice. Good side hustle. Again, cheating on taxes. Whatnot. And listen, we're not cops. You can tell us, like, you know, when it comes, like, do you have like a do you go through, do you have like a distributor for like t-shirts, like they print it, screen print it?
I used to do it all myself.
Oh,
but then
fuck.
It's super annoying because you have a sale, but then you're out of that size. So now I just do prints on demand, because I used to think they were bad quality, but I did a test run and they're just as good quality.
We went local with ours. We went down to good old Horizon. I threw a big old nickel on the table. I'm like,
yeah, my first merch drop, 25
shirts,
was after the Blues won the Stanley Cup, and I didn't know how to do any of it. Yeah. And I just made a Shopify real quick, made a design real quick, and I had so many orders, and I had no idea what to do. I had to go the next day, open a PO box, buy a label printer. It makes you feel alive.
Yeah. I have your PO box right here. We normally don't do this, but I'm going to read off your address so everyone can find you.
Well, I don't care.
Also, don't worry about the taxes, because I actually have a little man named Wesley Snipes do my we're among friends.
Your Judaism is showing quite a lot here. I must.
Well, you know, the Constitution says that the government really can't tax you. It's actually illegal for them to do that. I'm less of a Constitution guy, more of an Articles of Confederation guy.
Oh yeah, the one that worked. The libertarian's wet dream. Dude, so Hayden, you got this big ass like social media following, pretty dope. When did you start it? You said 4 years ago. So
I started it in 2016. I was in eighth grade at the time.
Holy shit!
And I just like doing it.
We say he's like a minor. We can't say fuck. We started in eighth grade though.
Yeah, yeah. Thankfully, I'm not in eighth grade anymore because that sucked.
Yeah. If you're still in eighth grade, you'd be like, yo, I'm like the most successful. Yeah. I'm driving.
It'd be bad for us if we were on a Zoom call with an eighth grader. It'd be pretty bad for us.
Yeah, I didn't know what you looked like. And I was like, I hope he's like, can smoke. Legally smoke. I hope he can legally smoke. That would be good to see. It'd be fun if it was like a fifth grader. Be like, what's up, bitches? Like, let's fucking go, dude. I'm like, all right, well, you know. This podcast had to get canceled at some point.
Well, hey, if it's any consolation, I'm always the youngest person on our podcast. And yeah. I'm 26, going on 27. It's
26, and I'm a dad, 32.
You're a dad to a cat. Yeah, you're a cat daddy.
Cat dad. And then Nick is, he turned 29?
He will turn 29.
But not like he will, like he's eventually going to turn 29, Hayden. It's the goal of his, because he's so... He's not, we can't trust him with sharp objects. You know, he's like he has to wear a big fancy football helmet in public. It's just bad. He licks doorknobs everywhere he goes.
Well, you know,
he's very Italian, so he has a death wish. But, Jesus. Like, what did you do in eighth grade? Because this is a little entrepreneur right here. What did you do?
In eighth grade, a big hit with my class, you know, being a heavier set kid. Was that I would put a pencil
in your whole life for someone to ask you.
I would put a pencil in my belly button and then suck in, and then I would expel said pencil like across the desk, and that made me really fucking cool.
In eighth grade you start this, and like when did it really start getting really big?
I feel like 2019 is kind of what I see as like the it got big, because that's when I actually saw money from it. Because you see the followers, you're like, this is cool, but you can't really quantify it to yourself. Like what, like it just seems like a number. It's like so many people in reality. But once you actually start doing stuff like selling merch, you actually realize, I don't know. I'm just so lucky to have this.
I'm just picturing you in like your junior year, just walking around with like one of those big 80s cell phones and like a suitcase. And we're like, I don't have time for algebra. Okay. For Christ's sakes, the Blues are in a cup run and I got a post I need to make.
Or it could be like in, you know, the other guys where it starts as a dating service and he's actually Gator, but he's having so all good. These like hot women, just screen print for him. He's got like a harem of them. He just like snaps and. I was like, yeah, go get the Blue number 2.
Everyone's like, what do you use the site for, pussy? He's like, nah, man, I'm spreading the good word of Cardinals baseball. Is it just St. Louis sports then that you guys operate with them?
Yeah, so just that. It's people want us to cover like college, but that's just too much. And then also you have the Cardinals have such a widespread audience that if you cover like Mizzou, there's gonna be so many like Arkansas fans and stuff like that. So
yeah,
I think it's best to just stick to what's going on, especially with soccer and XFL. There's a lot.
Okay. Yeah. So you've been on the STL city train. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. I have yet crazy to there. A game.
Have you been to City Park?
Yeah.
Dude.
It's incredible.
Whoa.
Like, and Oscar Sunfist is always down there. I knew he was coming back to the Blues before he even signed, because he's just was always at the tailgates and everything.
He's just That's see, you don't know this. See, I'm the hockey guy. Oscar Sundquist.
He's a player for the St. Louis.
He's
Blues.
One of those Europeans. Okay. Oh. Yeah, it's very European. Oh,
you can smell him at the tailgate. You can smell.
He smells like anchovies, is what it is.
And cigarettes. Yeah.
Anchovies and cigarettes. That's like the perfect perfect combo. So what's the goal? What's the goal of this? It's just like to be like, yo, dog. Fucking
main goal.
We ain't getting Otani.
Live off of it, the main goal, and then eventually get press access to all the teams.
Yeah.
But the hardest for that's to be the Cardinals, but that's the main goal. It's gonna be tough, but eventually these teams are gonna have to realize that social media is beneficial, and having a close coverage of your team on social media is just as big as having a newspaper cover.
Oh, yeah. True. And especially when it comes to like immediate access, and, you know, players have social media too.
Yeah.
So being able, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily describe it as access, like the same way like Derek Gould can send like a fucking DM to, you know, a baseball player and they respond back, but you can harass them though.
Well, and Derek,
it is direct conversation.
Derek Gould is like the Woj of like, you know, from what he is to the NBA.
He's a sassy bitch, dude. He is a sassy bitch.
Yeah, didn't Woj like cuss out Josh Hawley? Yeah.
Woj showed like Josh Hawley go fuck himself. Yeah
that guy rules. Not saying Woj or Josh Hawley. Whatever the audience likes and whatever.
Whatever your audience likes, they. Yeah, we can go either way. Like I said, we have German listeners.
The thing I really like about your stuff is that something that used to annoy the shit out of me was Arch City Sports. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started.
You can air it out here.
Air it out.
We're toxic. Fuck, marry, kill. Like, maybe not that one. But, like, could you kill them? Would you kill them?
I'm not going to comment on that publicly. But
you heard it here, folks.
Well, yeah. So, you know, you guys just kind of keep it real. You're not, you know, you're basically not a Cardinals Live, right?
I feel like Arch City, don't they just copy and paste on Facebook?
Pretty much, yeah. At least they used to. I unfollowed them years ago because I was.
Yeah, they were pretty annoying. And yeah, at least he's not a Cards Live on it. It's pretty simple. I mean, I will say this. This is how I know it's successful. I don't get annoyed when I see it. And, you know, I'm old man now. I am old man. My whole shtick is getting annoyed with like stuff that the younger Gen Zs. Are you Gen Z or are you Zoomer?
Yep.
Whatever. Gen Z. Fucking.
Gen Z is a Zoomer.
I don't keep up with all your pronouns and stuff like that.
Well, what sucks about getting older is when someone comes after you on Twitter, you can't just reply saying you're attacking a 16-year-old.
Yeah, no, it's
that's the downside.
Well, you can, you just don't, you know, you just lie. That's all. I could just start doing that whenever I like. Tell some Mets fans to like kick rocks, or you know, Photoshop Pete Alonso doing a certain heinous crime
on a certain Tuesday in September.
Yeah,
20 some odd years ago.
Yeah, you know, 20 some odd, and you know, I tell them to forget about it, and you know, then they could just call and they'll make fun of me. I can just say I'm a 16-year-old boy.
Jesus.
See, I told him. I warned him. Goes off the rails here.
I don't know. Although the idea of your photo belonging to a 16-year-old boy would be very funny. Like, because, you know, we already have a joke with Tom where we say he has an old face.
I have an old face.
An old fat.
Old face.
Face. So being 16 and having that mug would be extra funny.
Is that a brain fart?
Do you have a brain fart?
I feel like I need to take a dump, but like, you know, we're not going to.
Nope, we're doing it live.
We're doing it live. We're going to shit on this couch.
I brought actually a portable toilet in here in case I have to.
We brought in a bucket. Yeah. Speaking of college, as you can see, you know, We party here.
Yeah, that's a really rusted out trash can because my dad got it for me, and then I got the stomach flu, and I just vomited in it, and then didn't clean it up for a couple of days. So I my vomit like
wild
through.
Fucking animal.
I was also about God. Eighth grade, so you know, me and you were cooking. We were doing things. We were creating trends per se.
No, yeah, he was being a little entrepreneur. You were. A fucking living salad. You
I was shoving hot pockets up my ass.
Yeah, no, you were doing some human centipede shit with those hot pockets. All right, so we learned about the man for 20 minutes. Now we can talk to sports.
Yeah.
Hayden, how do you? What's your take on the St. Louis Cardinals? Do you want to give us an addendum on what you felt about this season, or you just want to talk off season?
Well, I felt like it just felt. Unlike any other Cardinals season, so much dysfunction.
Yeah.
Wilson Contreras, it was just such a shit show. And it sucked having to cover that because I hate making the front office look in a bad light because most of the time people talk about the front office in a bad light, they just make up shit on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I hate giving them ammo. And I don't know, just the injuries. I just, without Pujols and Molina, they have lack of leadership.
The vibes were gone.
Yeah. And I don't know. They need a lot of pitching. That's my biggest thing. Yes.
Well, if you ask Braves Twitter, they need pitching as much as we do. Yeah. Fucking hate Braves.
Well,
Twitter.
You know, Charlie Morton's only going to pitch another 25 years.
Yeah. It's not like, dude, Max Fried, Spencer Strider, hacks. Yeah. We got Steven Matz and Miles Michaelis. Now that is a one.
Well, I feel like they have the. Position players, like if you look down the list, you can see these guys can do something. It's not
They tied the major league record for homers in a season, and I think they had a 800 plus OPS collectively as a team. They had an unreal offensive juggernaut for the whole season. Like it's kind of like why I didn't like seeing Brian Snicker get any manager of the year votes because I'm like, what'd you have to navigate? Like, yeah. I get it, like you know. It maybe the standard shouldn't be guy takes shitty team and has them overperform, but like I mean, a guy like Skip Schumacher has to take a team with a limited budget and a limited fan base that like Atlanta has, and he guides them to a postseason.
Well, if the team is shit, what other variables are in the mix other than the manager? You know,
yeah, like, just YOLOing it, and somehow getting them to 84 wins. Like I don't know, Braves fans are generally based.
What's that Braves account? Sports Talk ATL or whatever.
Oh, we started some shit with them. Well, that was last year.
We
when they were talking
with them. I thought that was Bean Eater
we started with Bean Eater, but we're cool now because Bean Eater is base. He got dragged hard because he's the guy making fun of a little bit for Atlanta also needs more pitching. I'm like, no one asked you, man. Like. We're talking about Cardinals needing more pitching. You just fucking butt in and be like, Braves need it. Everyone needs more pitching. Get the fuck away. We're talking about our pitching.
He was going on about he responded to Cardinals Reek. It was basically talking shit.
Yeah.
Which was very funny, but I was also, I just wanted to get in there and be like, listen, man, this is Cardinals Reek. Let him cook. Let him do
his
thing.
He's
I'm not sure if he's making anything edible in the kitchen, but the guy's cooking.
But he's got a good roux going on.
Yeah,
is what it is.
Carlos Rick is talented. Yeah. He's made some jersey swaps for me.
Hell yeah! No, yeah, he's an awesome Photoshop here. It's just
he does Photoshop.
Oh yeah, Rick is talented.
Wars.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Two wars, damn, Frank. Two wars.
I don't know if you ever watch Always Sunny. But I was watching this clip a while ago of they were doing a podcast and he just kept saying two wars while interviewing
two wars, Charlie.
Yeah, that's what I need to catch up on. I started watching Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Well, it's the best.
Yeah, you and Josh are best friends.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
I have a picture of Larry David right next to where I poop.
Yep. Whenever he shits, the theme song plays. Yeah. He's got to go.
And then whenever I'm on there too long, I have a little voice box. It's just BJ Smoove just yelling at me saying, Larry, get out the toilet. Get out the shitter, Larry. So, yeah.
Hayden, what was the most okay, so we talk about like hard to cover here, okay? What was the most agonizing moment of this season that sticks out to you?
Really? I only think about the high points. Like the low points, I just try to block them out.
Yeah. Well, this is therapy, all right? You can share your Cardinals trauma with me. You can start with the high point. What was your high point?
Probably the Fenway.
Fenway? The Gorman, Fenway sweep.
Gorman just killed him.
When we had that little bit of hope.
And then Tyler O'Neill shredded his leg running around first.
He wasn't running hard enough. You remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my low point when O'Neill was just walking to home. Now that I think about it. Yeah.
And we had the Ollie saga that ensued for the next couple weeks. Yeah. And the Wilson Contreras one. And then there wasn't a lot of high points. I'll put Waino's 200th win as a high point. I was like, thank God.
Let's just go to Katie Wu's Twitter and just search the worst loss of the season.
Yeah, no, Katie. just... if I ever see her, one, it will be with me in a police car, I guess. I don't know. If I ever were to encounter her, I'd be like, so, like, I love your writing, but, like, you did this thing where you said every loss at one point was the worst loss or the lowest point of the season. And like, I want you to know, like, it got so much worse each and every time. Like, I don't know if you were conjuring something, but each time you said it, I'm like, oh, we're about to get lower. We're about to get somehow. It's about to get even worse. I don't know. Waino's my high point. You know, that made me feel good. He's got Fenway sweep. What do you got?
You know, I am a staunch Brendan Donovan loyalist.
Oh, that's going to be your low point, too.
But, like, his season was my high point and my low point because you saw him come back for a year two, be just as good as year one, and then it just ended too soon. But at the same time, you like to see a guy who can repeat success.
Yeah.
Especially in a second year. So.
Yeah, and we're trading him to New York. New York! New York! We're trading him to New York. That's where it's coming from, too.
Hopefully not. Just cost money, man. Let's just sign.
Yeah, 20-year deal.
Okay, low point, I just remembered the Royals when Wainwright gave up like 8 runs.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, that was rough. My brother-in-law is a very big Royals fan, and he even gets to like special events and like admission to like, you know, the clubhouse and shit, and has met like all of the Royals players. Like he did that last season.
He finished.
And so he gets to.
Waino closed out his career as having the second worst season ever for a starting pitcher who threw as many innings as him. Only Jake Arrieta beat him.
He's a workhorse.
He's a fucking hoss. He's in innings. He gobbles those innings up, baby. That's what it was.
He gobbles it like.
But I'm happy he went out on 200 because I thought this entire fan base was going to try and kill him at some point, and that was very sad to see.
Ooh.
Do you want to kill him, Hayden?
I'm going to plead Twitter. The fifth on that
no,
one.
No, no,
plead
no.
The
let's fifth. See what you said about Adam Wainwright.
I actually said it. I tweeted something about Wainwright. I had to delete it because everyone was just going after me.
What'd you say?
But it was like, I like Wainwright, but I don't think he should be starting every fifth day. That's what I tweeted. But I didn't delete it. They all came after me. The usual suspects.
We kind of felt like, I don't know. It was, as soon as the season was lost, we're like, yeah, throw him out there to die. If he like, if his whole thing is chasing like 200 for his legacy, I mean, fuck it. You know,
yeah.
Go for it at that point.
Well, I mean, the season was lost, so.
Season was lost by the end of, by fucking May.
Well, the craziest part was when it came out that he tore his labrum before his last start. Everyone was saying he's so selfish, but what would the team have done if he was like vintage Wainwright the whole year? It would have been the same result.
You don't understand, Hayden. Drew Rom needed to go out there and pitch 4 1/3 of 6-run ball so we can get another look at him. That's what we needed to do. Like Waino, you know. I guess it's appropriate to bring up because, you know, I'm working on this side special about him. And, like, legacy's an odd thing, you know, especially as you get older. Because, like, you know, guys stick around way too long no matter what. Because, you know, it's a point of pride. It's a point of legacy. It's a point of fulfillment, you know, like.
Well, and they're trying to get that $19 million, Tom, because he's a greedy son of a bitch. That's right.
Imagine if we said you're.
We're appeasing both sides. Yeah. We're a centrist.
We're fiscally responsible. Like, imagine though, like someone's like, you're too old to run, you know, your Twitter and Facebook empire anymore, Hayden. Like, I'm too old to. I am too old to be doing this. The more I think about it, I'm not a good example. but like, it's hard to kind of like shut that down. And you know, perfect world, he wins states maybe a little extra healthier. He ends at 200 last year when he goes out with the boys. But I don't really fault athletes for being selfish when it's, you know, when they're chasing their legacy too much. It just seems like
I'm kind of envious of athletes because you have those milestones you hit, like 3,000 hits, 200 wins. But social media, it's like, okay, let's keep on going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, good example, Miguel Cabrera hanging around as long as he did when he fell off the wagon to chase 3,000 hits. You know, and I know 3,000 is a more significant number than like 200 wins. But, you know, he's pulling in over 20-something million to be a, you know, sub-replacement level player. But the Tigers were always shitty.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, fuck it. Let's face 3,000.
I like how you use fall off the wagon, seeing as he is an alcoholic.
He is. Oh, he is. Oh.
Like, he was just getting drunk. Like, we're going for 3,000, baby.
It's not as bad as the Oakland Athletics getting him a bottle of wine.
It was like a $20 bottle of wine, too.
Yeah. It's a shitty Snooks butt bottle of fucking wine.
It's like that. It's like for Christmas when I get my sister like a bottle of Josh Cab Sav from Schnucks for $12.99. I'm like, this is a good bottle. Yeah. It's
brutal.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about, you know, some agonizing, some high points, low points. You know, let's quiz our guest here a little bit. You know, Ali Marmol, you like him? You want him gone, dead, relegated?
I like him. I feel like he's handled the media poorly at times, but
yeah,
I really like that he's more analytics, because that's the good and bad teams. You're either in analytics or not, and it's good to see he raises it more than Schilt, although I did like Schilt as well.
You think Schilt's getting hired on somewhere?
Probably Padres. It just seems Padres. It seems to predictable, so
inevitable.
Mm. I'm coming back with a vengeance to put those St. Louis sons of bitches down. I'm leading the Padres to the World Series, god damn it. A motivated Mike Schilt is a dangerous man.
He is. Yeah.
So like, I don't know, we always kind of went back and forth on Ali, you know. In some regards, it's like I would say definitely, like, in terms of media handling, it felt like, in terms, like, his riff with Tyler O'Neill, the Wilson Contreras saga. But, you know, it never really felt like he lost the clubhouse. Although, you know, the comments made at the end of the year about needing to get rid of a few guys was a little odd to me.
Yeah, my thing with him is like, okay, I'm going to give him another season. I'm going to keep an open mind on him for one more year. And because I think about it, his first season, you've got personalities like Yadier Pujols. You have so much leadership, it almost kind of undermines your own in a way. I mean, it's hard to give any advice to Albert Pujols or Yadier Molina on how to do their job or how to even handle guys in the clubhouse. They're older than him.
Like, yeah, no, they had like that leadership on it. And I mean, they're, you know, going to be bringing Molina to be part of the coaching staff. So it's
well, and then this last season, it's you lose all of that and you're kind of learning. And then, of course, you're having a shitty year too. Yeah, so you're having to navigate your second year as a first time coach in the middle of a terrible season on a fan base with astronomical expectations.
Yeah, we didn't have
with a shitty pitching staff.
I mean, the thing was, we lost three key pieces. We lost Mike Maddox, Jeff Albert, Danny Mack, Chip Carey couldn't carry the fucking slack. All right, and I mean, I think our coaching is shambles. Yeah. Turner Ward, boo. All right, Jeff Albert.
Turner Ward is kind of.
Jeff Albert went and took the 100-win Mets and turned them into a 77-win team. What happened here? 72 wins. Bring him back. Cardinals fans miss him.
doesn't matter who the coach is. All the fans are going to hate him within a year.
Yeah, I think it's like your job as like an assistant coach. Like, is just to be pissed on, I guess. I wonder if like Tony La Russa was like the best at like just being being able to deflect. I think like just fan animus in general.
Yeah, I don't remember that much with Tony. I mean, if like the media was giving him a hard time, you know, he has that legendary like speech where he's like,
"I have shingles."
That too. I've only had two glasses of wine for dinner.
Yeah.
No, but he had that, what was it, like 6 games into the season? He's like, "We're 6 games into the season," like basically telling the media to fuck off.
Yeah.
He had that, but like I never remember any hate for like, say, Mark McGwire when he was hitting coach. I don't remember any hate.
McGwire was a pretty decent hitting coach.
Duncan as pitching coach. I don't remember any of that. I mean, hell.
Derek Lilliquist, you remember him?
Yeah, he was.
Oh my.
Yeah. Hayden, you got something against D Lil?
No, I just remembered him.
Yeah.
I used to love John Gass, probably best name in Cardinals history.
That was a good one. He was he a prospect? Or was he just like a guy you picked up and brought in for like what?
Pretty sure he was a prospect. Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking
Mike Myers.
Guys episode now. We're naming some guys, is what we're doing. Some dudes here. Well, I mean, I guess it's like prediction time. I mean, what do you see for the offseason, man?
I think Nola is
Nola
the most likely to come.
Not Alec Wood.
Oh, hopefully not. Hopefully
not James Paxton. Not Rich Hill.
I think the front office is going to act this offseason like they never have before because they're losing their two cornerstone players, and they realized what that cost them in the clubhouse. So they need to go add a guy that can actually pitch. We don't need to see Steven Matz out there or any of those other random guys they pitch.
Steven Matz is going to win the Cy Young, and it's going to be his masterpiece.
Oh,
yeah, motherfucker.
His magnum opus.
Oh,
that was a stretch, but I got it. I got it there.
Boys. So you're high on Nola?
Yeah, I think Nola. They're going to get one of either Nola, Gray, or Yamamoto.
That Gray value just went up today. Second and Cy Young. Did you check that out?
I mean,
tell you to read things before the pod.
Listen, you know I don't know how to read because of my night blindness.
I mean, what in terms of like reports, how much how much money do you think we're playing with here, Hayden? You know, the way I kind
probably
of
around
it, yeah.
After arbitration, it's at around 140.
141
or 45, and then they're going to go 200.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's a decent amount to work with.
I was thinking 60, 55 to 65. So, yeah. I mean, so Nola's your guy. Who's your next guy? How are you fixing this shitty team?
Oh, I feel like you just got to get three Goldie starting pitchers. The bullpen.
DFA.
I still don't think you can even sign bullpen guys anymore. You just have to figure it out somehow because most signing relievers is never going to work out.
No, yeah, finding some guy with some electric stuff. That's basically it. Find me a guy who touches a Hyundai and has a slider, and we'll find a way to make that work, right? His relievers are like feast or famine.
Other than Chafin. Chafin's coming.
Oh, Christ, he has to have him.
The Chafe train.
It reminds him of his dog.
Him and Miles Michaels have to be on the same team. That's all I'm saying.
We need two bulldogs.
These are two guys who are roadies for Skinner, and we need them pitching on this team.
Like, beyond Nola, who else? Come on, you got this. You got 60 million to work with.
Sonny Gray, definitely. Aaron Nola, people say his numbers aren't that good, but the Cardinals have said they want to increase their chase rate on.
He gets
pitchers.
A lot of chase, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's a positive sign.
His K rate was middle of the road, but I mean, like, it's significantly better than what we've been throwing out there, plus, highly effective. I mean,
especially with the limited shift, the Cardinals can't just rely on their ground ball guys anymore.
Yeah, so. And like it needs to come down. I mean, you know, Kyle Reese talked about this on pad, just like how the defense overall needs to be better because they have like a very good park to pitch in, you know. So you need to take advantage of those dimensions. You need to take advantage of having, I mean, we're not going to have four or five guys win a gold glove same year again, but you have to be able to shore up like the balls that do get put in play, that, you know, that extra effort to mitigate like runs and hits and base runners.
Well, especially, I mean, you kind of have to, I mean, sure, I know left field is not the most important position on the diamond, but you kind of have to bolster the outfield's defense in a way. And I mean, this even applies to me to the infield. Is like, if you have Jordan Walker out there, he's still learning the position. You're going to kind of want to give him a little help, maybe have some guys with more range around him. Maybe, I mean, you have Nolan, who's happy to fucking run out in the outfield. You have
Edmund, talked about
who can do whatever.
Adding Kiermaier possibly in the offseason.
It's
kind of like a part of our wish list for as a depth outfield piece, or Whit Merrifield. But I mean, that's got to be after you add
two and a half
starting pitchers is the new number.
Yeah, and then that's where that's where you say fuck it and saying we're spending $85 million this offseason rather than $55-60 million.
Honestly, if they blow their wad and they bring in like two legit ones, like let's say, I don't think they're gonna do this, but yeah, let's say they brought in a Snell or Nola, and let's say they got Yamamoto. I mean, at that point, I don't give a fuck who their third pitcher is after that point. If you bring in a solid 1-2 guy like that, you know, if you have that and you make the postseason, I mean, we see how just having a solid 1-2 combo is going to get you ahead of games.
Yeah.
You know, and if you get like any of that, I mean, yeah, fuck it. You know, make the fifth spot a merry-go-round at that point.
Who's the other guy from Japan that's pretty highly touted?
Imanga, I think. Yeah, I can't say his name. So,
he's
30 and, you know, older guy. He's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a hot take.
What's your hot take?
I don't think bringing Molina
in. Japanese?
No,
we got him. We fucking got him.
Easy peasy Japanese.
I don't think bringing Molina in as anything other than a manager is a good idea.
Okay, so you wouldn't hire him unless he was taking over Ollie's role.
Yes, yeah, I feel like just having him there, like he just can't help but undermine. It's just how it is. Like it's nothing. He's nothing. Not his fault. It's just when you have like a new man. He's still a relatively new manager, Marmol. And this is really his first year managing because Pujols and Molina were still there. So you bring in a guy like Molina, I feel like it just undermines Marmol. And then you compound that with the fact that Molina has a lot of things going on in Puerto Rico. And his last season, he just randomly left. So I feel like for him to actually have full commitment to it as well, he'll have to be the manager.
That was my favorite part, is like how he just disappeared for like a couple months for a couple reasons, when really it meant like I gotta go take.
He wanted to go do some blow in Puerto Rico and watch his basketball team.
And that's
I get
what
it.
Do. Yeah.
I want to do those things.
I want to do those things too. Like,
so, hey, Brenda,
that would be funny.
Brenda, I'm going on sabbatical for a little bit.
That would be funny. Cardinals off to a 25-17 start as exit May, and Yadier Molina is having to go back to Puerto Rico for 2 months. Comes back, he is way more frazzled, and his eyes are red. He is managing.
Well, I was going to cover my ass here and say, I think Molina would be great as a bench coach in theory, but I don't think it'll work out.
Yeah.
What if he's just one of those advisors, like what the Blues did with like
an associate is the other one. Who was which manager did they give like a bench coach, but they call him just like an associate is what they did. We don't have to remember it, but yeah, like an advisory role like that.
Yeah, because like the Blues did that with like Marty Brodeur, right?
They brought him in, but like
after
we're talking about a guy who'll sit like on the bench for 162 games, hopefully, you know,
he could be an interpreter.
I was thinking he needs some time off. He probably gonna want a year or two off before he goes right back into the grind.
Yeah, I would kind of figure too. An advisor role probably works well. He goes to spring training, works with the players. You know, gets brought in, you know, I mean, works with guys whenever called up, whenever they're hurt. That would probably be good to bring him in for. I mean, he's got leadership skills, obviously. I mean, every catcher does. I mean, God knows how many managers out there were catchers at some point.
This reminds me, isn't it like the part of Albert's contract with the Angels where he like has to be like at their spring training and like working as like an advisor
for 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. So like, is he allowed to do that for other teams too? Like, does he come to the Cardinals spring training?
They had like some kind of like, it wasn't running, but for him to like, it wasn't even like an advisory role, just for him to come, I think, for like a promotional day this past season. They brought up how he had to like get permission from like Angels ownership on that. But like, I think he's locked in with the Angels, org for at least the next 9 or 10 years. Mm-hmm. So we got his bag. So take the money.
I mean, unless he becomes a manager. I'm sure if he became a manager, that voids it out.
Yeah, right. I would assume so. Yeah. Or, you know, they're going to come and collect.
Or he just has to throw any series we play the Angels.
Yeah, he's snitching on them. Yeah. Hey, Yachty, I got some shit I got to tell you. Our team always sucks. There's nothing to do. Angels always suck. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
Astute observation, Tom.
Thank you. Yeah. You have a off-season hot take, Hayden?
Hot take central. These takes are hot. Fresh out of the oven. They're screaming in pain. They're on fire. Shit. What are these takes?
Hot take. They should trade O'Neill and Carlson.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a hot take or not.
It's
but.
Not. You know what I think? I think people are overvaluing.
That's an air fried take.
That's
It's hot. It's cooked evenly. I think they're gonna, certainly.
I think they're shopping them around.
Oh, hot take. Hot take. Palacios is a real deal. That's my hot take.
Oh, you're big on Richie there. I like that. He was
great name.
Big Dick Richie. My hot take is they don't move those two because they ain't going to find a suitor. Let's go with that hot take. I know they want to move him because that's what's being reported. And we know O'Neill is probably one of those small group of players Ollie's talking about. And I'm probably DC as well. In a just insane world, they get traded and get a fresh start. But I think... because anytime I see someone bring up, they're like, we can get Dylan Cease if we throw in these two often injured, and frankly, right now, as much as I love them, stub average, like, outfielders for Dylan Cease. And then, yeah, maybe we'll throw in Tommy Edman, who is fine. That's, yeah, the White Sox may do it. They're fucking stupid.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to have to trade one of Edman or Donovan to get a deal done for a starter.
Yeah, I think it would have to come to that. Maybe even Gorman if the it depends, you know, if we're trading for like a potential like one or two. Although anything that involves Gorman or Don, I know you're biting your lip. You don't want to see Donnie go. Any of those guys involved, they have to come with a high price, a high return whenever it comes to like a trade.
And not a Yankees like AAA prospect because I'm over pitching prospects.
Has it been Donnie or Gorman for Glasnow, Hayden?
Are
you big on the Glasnow train?
Yes, but not for those players.
Not for those players.
I feel like with how many free agents pitchers are available, it would be stupid to give that much up for in a trade.
Yeah.
Like, I love Tyler Glasnow, but I feel like, you know, especially with his injury history, I mean, he hasn't pitched and completed a full season since his first year in the majors when he pitched like 130 innings in the minors and like 50, 60 in the majors. And like, I think 120 innings out of him would be great. Don't get me wrong, but like, it doesn't like mitigate the problem that, okay, so when he does get hurt, who are we running out there? Jake fucking Woodford, Dakota Hudson, guys are going to get hurt, right? So like, I'd rather have someone who's going to give me full good innings and mitigate our reliance to have to rush out a subpar like pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, if you're
Dak might get non-tendered, but you know.
Well, the thing with Glasnow, I mean, it's nothing no one else has
more
said.
Like Glass always.
Because, yeah, he's injury prone. Yeah, you get 120 innings out of him, probably 120 great innings. But then again, is he healthy for the postseason? Is he healthy down the stretch when you need him most?
Do you want to pay $20 million for it? Do you want to give up prospects?
Yeah.
I mean, you can eat all the cash you want. The Rays are going to take some people.
Yeah.
You know, and the more you make them eat of that salary, the higher the cost is going to be that they're going to ask for him. And the Rays also have tremendous pitching problems too. All right. Three of their main guys are hurt.
Yeah.
So, like, again, why the fuck would they want to make a trade with us for a team that was stacked last year offensively for Dylan Carlson and Tyler O'Neill and Tommy Edman just so they can dump his salary? If I know he's on the market, I think the Rays, if anything, they're either going to get a massive prospect haul or getting some pitching back in return. I mean, maybe they don't care that much about winning, but I think they just like winning with a small budget to piss all of us off.
Yeah.
That's what the Rays do. So,
yeah.
We are at 15 minutes.
We are.
We've done it,
man.
Shall we What else can we grill Hayden on? Oh, hold on, hold Wait, on. No. We got a couple more.
Yeah, I came up with a question earlier.
Yeah,
you know, since you're obviously pretty active on, you know, Facebook, and you guys get a lot of engagement. Or I guess not you guys, just you, right? Is it just you running? Okay.
Oh, so, you poor fuck.
So you get a lot of engagement, right? What's like the just most off, like, like off the fucking book interactions you've seen of people just yelling at each other? Like I want to see like the real, like, you like where you lose hope in humanity and you, or you think everyone who follows you is like schizophrenic. Like, I want to know.
You know, read the post. They just say, announce Nola now.
Usually I need a few drinks to me to even check the Facebook comments.
Yeah,
fair enough. He's old enough to drink. That's good.
Yeah, that's good. We were worried.
Chris Hansen approves. We like it.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Wander Franco does not.
Well, most recently I made that fake picture of Otani and Nupar at Emo's, and then everyone in the comments thinks it's real.
Did you just do that with AI, or did you just like...
Oh, I just made it in Photoshop in like 2 minutes.
You got a hold of Reek. He's like, Reek, yo, dog. Awesome. Hayden, we like to do a thing here. We announced Crumble Champs. Now, we made up a fake Lithuanian cryptocurrency called Crumble Coin. And a Crumble Champ can mean two things to you, okay? It can mean you're handing out an award sarcastically to someone, or you mean you genuinely hand it out to a player. Or coach or manager or random person. So, you know, let's think of our Crumble Champs. My Crumble Champ this week is Chris Martin, the reliever for the Red Sox, who got a Cy Young vote. Congrats to Chris Martin, everyone, not the singer from Coldplay.
Attaboy, Chris.
I'm up to see you. I throw you a splitter.
I would say my Crumble Coin Champ, and it really shouldn't be this week. It should be for last week. Whatever the virus that was affecting the GM meetings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that,
did you see what fucking
that
Wolf
bacteria
wrote?
Is, I'm fucking shitting blood, but I'm getting this article out.
You saw what Derek Gould wrote?
No, what'd he say?
He put a fucking, he pissed me off is what he did. He put a joke in his article about, like, a meeting usually reserved for picking up, you know, players has turned into a meeting that's about run prevention. I'm like, you fucker. Absolute bastard. He's the best.
That's a solid joke. I was thinking the same thing. The period had to be something with run.
It had to be with poop. So, yeah. Hayden, you're on the spot now. You're on the worst fans hot seat. Who's your Crumble Champ?
Sure.
You can pick your parents. You like them?
Probably Draymond Green.
Draymond for choking. Oh, you're in Josh's wheelhouse. He loves it.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that? More violence. I like
it. Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with violence, but like Draymond is just such an asshole.
Fucking
he's
my favorite is the who did he put in? It was a goat. Was Rudy
Gobert?
No, yeah. The immediate reaction of him when he's like, "I'm in a chokehold," he's like, "Ah!" I nearly die. Oh god!
When the urge to flop also happens while you're being strangled,
while you're while you're having all the oxygen in your brain cut off.
Yeah, he's like being choked out, and he just like gets like makeup out and put X's over his eyes. Like, I'm dead. It's a technical foul, right? I'm reborn.
Yeah, he has one of those bumps that come up from like a fucking Wile E. Coyote. This has been fun. Hayden, do you enjoy yourself? You gotta say yes.
Yes. Yeah.
That's whatever. Yeah.
I do not endorse anything you guys say, by the way.
We haven't said anything controversial.
Nothing controversial.
Where can people find you and follow you about?
Yeah, like your home address.
Your home address, PO box that we have.
Longitude, latitude preferred. But
what do you got to plug? What do you got to tell the masses out there?
STL Sports Central on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. STL Sports CNTRL on Twitter.
Hell yeah.
And then STLSportsCentral.shop and STLSportsCentral.com.
Guys, go buy a shirt from Hayden. Thank you for coming on. This has been fun.
Well, I have probably 300 shirts sitting in my garage, so please buy them.
Help this boy empty out his damn garage, folks.
I might put them up for sale for $10 just to get rid of them.
For money on these shirts. You guys have to buy them. You guys have to.
Hell yeah. Thanks for coming on, Hayden.
Yeah. Appreciate it, buddy.